Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
So glad that you are here. My name is Mitch, and I'm one of the pastors here. If you're new to Lake Forest, grateful that you are here in our living room. You are here at the end of our Love 10 series, and the Love 10 series has kind of been more than just a series. It's been a movement as an entire church over these last couple of months of moving toward making room for one more person, one more neighborhood, and one more church. And we are excited about what God is doing in that. We should be clapping with that. In that last week, you guys came and made your commitments on what the Lord is calling you to commit to giving over the next 3 years. And during this service, we'll unveil that full number where we are today, and that'll continue on. But I also want to let you know that Mike, Michael, and myself, for 25 days, 18 of those nights, we were together in your homes. And so 18 out of 25 nights, we were together. And it was a great time. We had a blast with each other. We're grateful for the break now from each other. But more than anything, I want to say thanks to my wife, Virginia, Lindsay, and Caleb for your sacrifice. Angie, Dylan, and Austin, thank you guys for your sacrifice on giving us those nights. But the people in our body who sacrifice the most, I will say, is you single 20-ish women out there. Thank you for putting your social life on hold until Michael could free his schedule. And he is, I know he's been busy, and I know you've been waiting, and he is free now. And so get those calendars back going. He will be calling very, very soon. And so thank you for your sacrifice for us. This morning, I want to share with you a passage that I've sat in during these last couple of months that has meant a lot for me, and I think it's also been a place where I feel like we as a church can grab some highlights and grab a hold on in what God is doing. So there are Bibles close to you. I really love for you to open those. Grab a Bible. If there's anyone, I don't want any Bible not being used. Grab a Bible, and if you would open up to Exodus chapter 13. In those Bibles, it should be around page 47. But Exodus chapter 13, and I'm just going to share some verses with you this morning and hit a few highlights on there. And then we're going to tell you some stories of what God is doing. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. God's people are in slavery. The Israelites, they're in slavery to the Egyptians. And God has said, my plan for you is not for you to be in slavery. I am moving you toward freedom. And so God did some things to where Pharaoh then finally decided, I will let your people go. So verse 17 of chapter 13, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. So let me just reflect on that for a second. One is I want you to notice that the Israelites left Egypt. They were armed for battle. So they had a plan in place, and they thought that their plan was that we were going to go the shorter route through the Philistine country, and we were going to fight the Philistines on our way to this promised land that is given us. But God knew that if they went the shorter route, then there was going to be temptation for them to turn around and to go back into slavery into Egypt. And God said, I've got a better plan for you. I'm going to take you a longer route, a route that you have to trust me. The only option you have is you will have to trust me. And so God sent them on a longer route, a route that they did not plan on moving. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. So they began to move, and after they leave Egypt, Pharaoh changes his mind. He sends his armies out to kill the Israelites. Verse 10. Of chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. There's a great place in there that when you are in a place where God has moved you to, where all you have to do is trust Him, fears start coming out. And we want to lean back into the other things that we've trusted. Lean back onto the things that we found our security in. Even in our slavery, and even in our bondage, you can find comfort. And so here they are in a place where they have to trust God. But yet they're crying out, it would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians. At least we knew what was going on there. And so here in this Love 10, part of our Love 10 has been one more person, one more church, one more neighborhood. But a bigger part of our Love 10 has been to uncover the things that we're afraid of, the things in our own lives that we are bound to. And I'm grateful to hear the fears that have come out during this. We've heard the fears of people saying, are you guys crazy? What are you doing a Love 10 campaign in the middle of this kind of economy? There's a fear. What are you guys doing? Why are we moving now? Wouldn't it be better if we stayed put and we made sure that we were all healthy and great relationships, solid relationship with each other, and we knew we're all together? Wouldn't it be better for us to move then? And some of the fears of some of you, many of you who've lost your jobs during this time. And your fear of, I can't even be a part of this Love 10 because I don't have a job. I don't know how I can give. And there's a fear of wanting to opt out in that. You see, Love 10 uncovers all these places where we have to say, my only option is I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'm so proud of you, Lake Forest, because you've made a statement in saying that our economy will never be trustworthy. No matter what day it is, your economy is not what you put your trust in. For those of you who've watched us as we've moved toward this together, I've loved watching relationships be healed. I've loved watching us become stronger and stronger in our faith in following Christ. And so we are becoming more together as we move. And I've also loved watching the creativity of those of you who've lost your jobs and saying, no, I am a part of this. I'm a big part of this. And you have sacrificially given, not just economically, but in all kinds of other ways. I'm proud of you, Lake Forest. We are moving. And that's why we need each other, to look at one another and to say, God has called us to move. But let's keep going. Verse 13. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Moses' words to the people. But hear what God says to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, well, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. And there's a beautiful image there of Moses looking at the people and saying, be still. And God looking at Moses saying, tell them to move on. And part of being still is recognizing that God has called us to move on. Our stillness doesn't mean that we don't move. Our stillness allows us to hear a God that says, move on. Trust me. There is nothing to be afraid of. You see, being still gives us the room to be able to hear what our God is doing. But being still doesn't promise us that we're going to know exactly what God's going to do. Being still allows us to be in on what God is doing. And I am so proud of you, Lake Forest. I'm so proud of watching what happened in the tent out on our big lawn and the number of you who came on behalf of this body and just were still before the Lord as we listened closely to Him saying, let's go on. I've loved how you sat still as we keep moving. And so this morning, we're going to uncover for you the number, a place that you guys have sacrificially given. It's one statement that you've made to the Lord saying, we trust you and we will continue to move on. But as we unveil those, I want you to hear the hearts and the lives that have been changed already as we're moving on. Would you hear these stories that Mike and Michael and I will read to you of fellow ministry partners here and the places where God is moving them out of places of bondage? Here's one story from one of our community group leaders. Her name is Colleen. And Colleen wrote me and she said, I could hear God was telling me to stop the busyness. And looking at my journal over the past year, I just took forever to just stop and listen. Thank goodness God is generous. My eyes are open now to what is all around me. I had this sense that I needed to be connected to my neighbors, but I was so busy that not much was accomplished in this area. I kept saying, I feel like a hamster in one of those balls going around and around and around. But I have this new outlook now. First, the day I resigned from work, guess who left me a message on the answering machine when I got home? My next door neighbor, asking when we could get together again. It's the same neighbor who emailed me back instantly when I had sent an email to some neighbors last week about getting together every other week to do a Bible study because God has allowed me to be available to them. Before, it would have just been a thought and it would have stopped there. Secondly, my neighbor on the other side of me, I call my new best friend. We both grew up feeling that we were not loved by our moms and now have each other to share hurt feelings and to encourage one another in that our identity is not in our lack of relationship with our moms, but our identity is with God and who He created us to be, including the relationship with our moms, even though it may not be the relationship we expected. Third, He is generous in that I am free to just be available and loving the fact that I can embrace people versus people just fitting in. Just thought I'd share some of the ways our God is generous from our Love 10 study. There are a ton more, but that would be like a book. One story. And I'm going to show you the final two digits of our giving.
Woo!
71.
Oh, that's not it. That's,
thank you and Angie for giving. Appreciate y'all's sacrifice.
Thank you.
Angie, thank you for your sacrificial giving.
Man, I'm grateful for that.
I'm extremely grateful. So
more than they've ever given before.
16%. So
this one says, I need to talk to you about, this is an email I received, that Huntington Green mission. I've been in human resources for 18 years and have found myself at a fork in the road over the last 2 years. Not sure why God has given me this job that I don't feel is very positive. I've been praying to find a way to take my gifts and use them towards a more positive light. When I heard the description about this new phase at Lake Forest, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is my opportunity to take my HR experience and use it in a different way. I truly would love to get engaged in the mess of relationships with all the people there, helping them find jobs, create business, whatever it takes. Ideally, I'd like to work my way out of my current job and just do volunteer work, but my spouse and I aren't quite there yet. I still believe I have the ability and time to commit to this with God's help, and I look forward to talking more about it.
Amen. Fun.
Bing. 69.
Oh, man, here we go, here we go.
Thank you for giving me.
When we started Love 10, we had three goals. One was unity. A second goal was spiritual growth among all of us. And the third goal was contributing in a way that we move forward on God's mission as a church through the prism of stewardship. So we're telling stories of how God has done all of these things among us. Here's the next one. So Mike, since we got involved in our Lake Forest Church Missio Day trip to another part of the world 2 years ago, we've not been giving or tithing faithfully to Lake Forest. Something inside of us changed so drastically from what we saw overseas that I kind of swung way wide out on some things. We decided there are plenty of Lake Norman folks who have gobs of money. Exhibit A. Enough to make Lake Forest Church work. We wanted our money to go directly to the mission that we had become partnered with. And so that's what we did, and we quit giving. Something has really shifted in us since you started the Love 10 series, though. We've sat with God in our cynicism and frustration with the excesses of Lake Norman. And we've asked God to reveal what is He telling us about all this. Here's what we heard from Him. Why do you have a burden for the poor and homeless children around the world? It's through your church. Why were you able to even conceive of orienting your entire lives built around caring for these people? Because of your church. Wasn't it Mike's sermons in early 2008 that moved you to get your finances in order? And didn't I bless that more than you dreamed? So that you had cash on hand and orderliness in your home financially. to radically love poor children in another part of the world, in particular one. And who encouraged you when the journey was hard on your Missio Day? Your Lake Forest friends. And why are you healthy and free in Christ to begin with? Haven't I used your church in your life? And why do even some of your neighbors now love and follow Jesus for the first time and even lead in Lake Forest Church? It's been my tool for you. So we now confess our cynicism and our pride. We had zeal without knowledge, we're afraid. We are tithing to Lake Forest faithfully again. And I know God doesn't always work this way, but the first time we gave a full tithe to Lake Forest a few weeks ago, the car we'd been trying to sell sold, $9,000 we really needed to get back out of debt again. Thank you for preaching and teaching stewardship as a means to get us to listen to Him. Just another God story. Ding! 569-71. Man, we're rolling.
This is one of our ministry partners, doesn't have a full-time job, single mom. Ever since the Love 10 details were introduced, I felt 100% drawn to the Huntington Green community. We were asked 2 weeks ago, what part of yourself are you willing to surrender to God? I said, all of me. I've since looked at three trailers in that community, and I'm trying to sell what I can to raise the money to move. This is the first time, though, the Lord is telling me to slow down and ask for help before jumping into something without counsel. I'm only working part-time, and the money I now make would not even allow me to cover expenses. So I believe that this is the time for me to really seek God in this decision and trust His timing while I find full-time employment. I've had this feeling that I could do so much more. I began a Bible study at Lake Forest with TJ, and the very first meeting we had was focusing on Jesus' trip through Samaria. I was fascinated by the fact that Jesus didn't go around, but He went straight through. It was clear to me at the end of that study that my past has always been to take the easier, the softer way around. And how willing am I to go where others fear? I know this is where God is leading me, and I don't have a clue as to how to proceed from there, but I am confident that I could partner with others and have who have the experience and same desires as I do. I asked God to break my heart for what breaks His, and He did. Something moved inside of me to take action. Now I just need to know how to best go about getting connected and not try and do this on my own. I don't have money to give to this Love 10 project, but I can give of myself, my time, and my heart. Your ministry
That's
partner.
Awesome.
$5,500.
This one begins... I'm just a teenager, so when the Love 10 came around, I kind of said, yeah, this is for adults who don't tithe regularly and people who have bigger problems than I do. And yet I love Kyle's new song, and I love trying to love people in the way that God sees them, instead of being someone who ruthlessly judges others. So after weeks and weeks of listening to the teaching, I realized that here I am 16, and I don't give on a consistent basis to my God. I consider God my Savior and my Lord, and He gives so much to me, and I give Him nothing or maybe my leftovers. Like, here, God, I don't want you to have the whole babysitting check, so you can have these crumpled up ones in the bottom of my purse. You know what happened? I was convicted. So I picked up a commitment card and filled it out. I prayed about an amount. I went through the Love 10 conference sheet. I was armed and ready for Commitment Sunday. Well, as my life would have it, I didn't have time to fill out the today's cash gift and just intended to give whatever was in my wallet. I had worked the night before and actually had cash in my wallet, a rarity, and I was planning on giving the smaller bills and keeping the larger ones for shopping on Amazon when I got home. But I was again convicted for like the third time during the 65-minute service. Note, it says 65-minute service.
65.
Yeah.
Fully noted.
At this church, after 60 minutes, do not salivate and get up to go to McDonald's. 65.
65. A 16-year-old knows that. I reached into my wallet and pulled out the bigger bills and the leftovers and put them in an envelope and sealed it before I could change my mind. When I got home, I had received in the mail a babysitting check for the exact amount of what I begrudgingly gave. I was taken aback and deeply humbled. I'm now on track for consistent giving each month, and I'm trying to love more and more like the God who so loves us.
Mm. Another five.
One more Love 10 story, friends. I've printed out 12 pages with two or three stories on it that you've just allow me to share. And I waited to choose the several that I'm reading till this morning. And here's the last one I'll read. Mike and Mitch, I'm moving past how hard my last 2 years have been to how amazing my life has become as I've made it a purpose to get to know my Lord and Savior Christ for the first time. I was moved by the Spirit to seek a spiritual home at Lake Forest for my wife and myself. I'm part of a morning men's group that meets at the church. This is the year I stopped being a spectator and sought out an active relationship with Christ. While I couldn't see past my darkness, it was God who never lost focus on meeting me where I am. Here's where I stand. By giving God my first, best, greatest, and going all the way to 5%, my barns are full and my cup overflows. I've become a part of a church and a community group. I found a great mentor and friend in my men's group. I've started reading the Bible with my wife every night. Prayer is a part of my day. I've graduated finally with that degree I've been working on for so long, and I start my new career later this fall. I now have the financial means to support my family. I'm even more determined and empowered to seek out a deeper relationship with Christ. Look how amazing God is as I limped to Him. I can't wait to see where my wife and I go as we sprint to Him now. We are developing our plan through Love 10 on getting to 10%. We'll get there. Thank you and the body of Lake Forest Church. Signed, a new ministry partner. Let's see. What do we have? Do we have a...
Another five. Now, Kyle, before, thank you for giving. So that was Kyle's gift.
A lot of consistency. And,
we compensate well here. Before I reveal the total, I just want you to know we are overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed at the generosity and the faithfulness of this church. Amen. Primarily, first, through these stories that we've told. It's just beautiful. And something I didn't tell you at the beginning is, as before Love 10, as we were planning it all out, someone whom I respect and who does church campaigns for a living said to me, Mike, and today's economy, et cetera, based on what you've told me about, you know, how many people in your church, if your folks are just awesome, you guys need to just go crazy of anything like 1.7 million. That would be like a challenge goal for you guys. And so I didn't feel like telling you all that at the beginning. It's just because I just, you know, kept that to myself. It's time now to give these results of 7 weeks of prayer, of studying the scriptures, of waiting and being silent, as well as moving. So the Love 10 total of so far of the cash and the commitments that we've made over 3 years is $2,555,000. Wow. You have been a part. You have been a part of a movement of true generosity, and congratulations. You did it without any gimmicks. We didn't put anybody's name on a plaque or a chair or a wall or a brick. Nobody got any glory out of this except Jesus Christ. Let's stand and give the glory to Him. Would you stand and let's just thank Him. You can be seated. And wow, we actually made this ridiculous journey with no giving thermometers. Unbelievable. And that's because this was not a fundraiser. This was a campaign about growth and giving. And so what a generous, unified movement of the people of God who care about the mission of God during lean times, who are staying focused on Christ. And because Christ is at the center of our church and of our lives, we will culminate Love 10 by moving to communion in a few minutes. But I just want to reflect, out of reading so many of your stories now, what did we learn out of Love 10? Because this wasn't primarily about building buildings. We're far more interested in building disciples who live out the mission of God, the Missio Dei, in our everyday lives. Our goal was to stretch one another spiritually and extend the sphere of Jesus' love through us. And in the midst of that, we have grown in character. And the real miracle has been what has happened in our hearts. Yet we thank God for this amount. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable and generous. But we thank God for changing our lives What have we learned? Well, you've heard us speaking, reading of some people who have taken the time to be still and reflect. What have we learned? What has this been in your spiritual journey? And I pray you will continue to do that. But I've been reflecting on what have we learned as a whole church when you put them all together. And here are a few things that we've learned. Deuteronomy 4:9 says to stop and remember every now and then. It says this, be careful to never forget what you've seen God doing for you. May His miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Tell your children and your grandchildren. God tells us not to forget the things that we've learned from experience with Him. Because there's some things in your spiritual life you can only learn by experience. You can talk about faith, and we can talk about it all day long, but it's something else to step out on faith. That's when you learn about faith. We can talk and have Bible studies about sacrifice, and I care about the mission of God, and it's the most important thing to me. Until we actually step out and sacrifice in that direction, that's when we learn. So a few things that I see that we've learned as a church. One, God is in control. And we've seen God do this over and over to show that He's in control. In miracles, in circumstances, in coincidences seemingly that have happened during these last 7 weeks. Answer prayers, life change. You know what my favorite long-term work of God in Love 10 is? The fact that during these weeks I have seen marriages, multiple, that have always been conflicted, just like the culture over finances, have moved supernaturally to unity. That is a long-term place of stability and blessing that God has done because God is in control. Psalm 77 verse 14 says this, "You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power." God still does miracles to show that He's in charge, He's in control. We don't have to base our faith only on miracles that we've heard of in the Bible or that we've read about from other people. He does them today. When we step out in faith to meet Him, then our faith rises up and intersects with His level of faithfulness, and we experience modern day miracles. And we've seen that starting in more unified marriages here in our midst, completely counterculturally, in a way that will last. So when you feel hopeless, when you feel defeated, please remember that God is in control. A second thing that I see that we've all learned is that we grow by making and keeping commitments. I've watched you be stretched and challenged to a deeper level of faith and sacrifice and purpose. And as your pastor, I am so proud of you and honored to be called your pastor. And for many of us in this room, this was an uncomfortable time. Of course it is. Does anybody really like the process of working out and getting stronger? Do you actually like for your muscles to ache and you to be sweating and it's painful? That's no fun, but it's the way we grow. It's the way we grow. Commitment is the foundation of character. Commitment is the starting point for spiritual maturity. And every time you and I make a commitment and keep it, you grow spiritually. So get ready to grow for the next 36 months, Lake Forest, as we keep these commitments. God says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is always looking to replace our weakness with His strength. And one of the places that will be found, we're promised here, is when we step out and we're unafraid to make and keep large missional commitments in the direction of Jesus' love to the world as our free response to the grace that He's given us. A third thing that we've learned, this is the thing I've heard by far and away from almost everyone, is it just feels good to give. Something about it feels good. I'm going to use the word feeling here very intentionally because God touches our mind, our will, our heart, and our emotions when we follow Jesus. The most common thing I've heard is, you know, I didn't even have this money to give, or this is more than I've ever given, but it feels so good. I feel so free and weightless as I've done this. I'm given to something that will outlast me. Somebody specifically wrote me this. Most of the way we spend our money doesn't even matter a month from now, much less 10,000 years from now. But when we give for the kingdom of God, we're giving for something that will outlast us. And it feels so good to give. Again, it's the experience of something we've always known in our head. Jesus said, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Doesn't that sound nice? When you step out and you do this, you experience it and you grow and you're forever changed and marked now because you've done it and you've experienced it. It's powerful. Now, I just want to speak to some of you here. Some of you are married to a person who doesn't know Christ yet or has some baggage to the church, or for some reason, you to honor your spouse, you could not make a commitment to love 10. And I want to say to you, don't grieve over that. God knows your heart. We love you here, and we're so glad you're part of our family. And as we continue to journey together, I hope we continue to get the chance to love and pray for your spouse and that they discover the joy of Jesus over time. And there are others of you, out of your abundance, you have given abundantly crazy like you never thought you would. And others, you have sacrificed enormously in spite of severe financial difficulty. And you said, I'm going to put God first in my life and believe that He will be enough. And God will honor that. And I'm so privileged to do life with you. The fourth thing that I think we've all learned is this is a loving and unified church family. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if two of you on earth agree about anything and ask for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Well, obviously, God found a few more than two people agreeing on our next steps of mission in this church. And I can't wait to watch Him fulfill this promise that it will be done by our Father in heaven. Through Love 10, those of us through over time, we've been journeying together a long time and we know each other a little too well. We've been tempted to become critics and cynics and even misers toward one another and toward God's bride in this earth. And we have now been overwhelmed in a fresh wave of generosity and joy and eagerness to link together for Jesus' great commission and the spread of the knowledge and the fame of Him who has bought us for His own. And it is not an option for us to not move in unity. Because unity is an irresistible force. And when a church is loving like you are and unified around mission and what we're doing next, it's like you are, it's unstoppable. The evil one might slow us down and be a little speed bump. But unity in Christ is unstoppable, and Jesus promised the gates of hell will not prevail against a unified church that has Jesus in the center as our object of worship, which is why we finish Love 10 at the communion table. Putting Christ firmly in the center of our lives, in the center of our church, that all that we give Him is but giving back a mere echo and pittance compared to what He's given to us through His life, death, and resurrection on our behalves. So if you haven't joined us yet, take Welcome 101 and join on our mission band. Now let me finish here as we move to communion. I know there are some here in our midst who sat this one out. You sat on the sidelines. Maybe you had a skeptical eye. I don't really know why. Maybe you've been here a long time. Maybe you're new and you're like, dude, I have no idea what's going on here. You may have been nervous about it. Some haven't liked it. Some of you have been mad at me. Okay? And as you've watched hundreds and hundreds of people give, not grudgingly, not out of guilt or pressure, but with a grateful, joyful, eager heart in unity, as you've seen the God-sized results, I hope it challenges you to be reflecting also, to be sure that your actions are only of faith and of no other reason. To examine your own heart and just ask yourself, why did I feel the way I did? What is it in me that shut my heart down to what God is doing in our church? I just hope you'll consider that. And if you feel a little twinge of, you know, it's time for me to get in on this, it's not too late. You can still beat all the procrastinators among us. They still got 2 or 3 weeks to go. And you know who you are, right? So go ahead. We've received a number of cards this morning. Just grab a card. Pray about it. Be a part. Well, I want to pray as we move toward communion over something that has been important in my life this very week after the high of last Sunday. So let me pray over us as we prepare for communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for my friends. Oh, this is so good. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the joy and the spiritual mountaintop of last week for me personally as husband and father, as we presented what all this represented that you've done in our lives, as pastor, as I saw person after person, family after family, Lord, I thank you for this. And Lord, I now, in the lives of everyone here who's participated eagerly and experienced a spiritual high, we now pray against the evil one who always tries to rob us of our joy. The joy of giving, of commitment, the joy of sacrifice, the joy of stretching our faith. And Lord, we reject the evil one and we name his schemes, who will use anything he can at work, on the highway, at home. Someone saying, I know a church of 50 people who gave 50 million. Whatever it is, Lord. After every mountaintop, we recognize there's a valley. Lord, as pastor, I just love and care about these people who've taken these huge, beautiful steps on a high. And Lord, I pray that you will equip us as we come to the communion table to be ready that after a high, sometimes there's a low. And Lord, you know I have not had a great week this week personally after the high of Sunday. And I bring that to you. And Lord, we come to the table saying the mark of our spirituality and our spiritual maturity is not how I'm doing. If I'm on the mountaintop or I'm in the valley, the mark is Jesus, who is my very life. And the mark for me is, am I on the way of following Jesus? And Lord, we're on our way now in unity with our brothers and sisters, depending on you as our very life. And so we come to the table to worship you as our center, our hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.